next Monday is National Punctuation Day. And I don't know who put together the day, but we're going to find out more about it. You can go to nationalpunctuationday.com and find out more, too. And also, we're going to learn more from Jeff Rubin, who's with us now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Is this your creation?
Yes, it is.
National Punctuation Day. Now, what gets you riled up about punctuation?
I think the thing that bothers me the most is people's acceptance of themselves as poor punctuators, bad spellers and grammarians, rather than doing something about improving their skills. These are not genetic defects. These are things. these are things that can be learned.
Uh huh. And relearned, perhaps.
Yeah. And practiced.
All right. Where are we making the most errors in writing and in punctuation?
Well, the most frequent mistake I see is the use of its, as the possessive form when it should be ITS.
Yeah. And that's probably because it doesn't follow the normal possessive rule.
No, it doesn't. In fact, it's one of the few exceptions to the rule.
Because it's a contraction.
Because it's a contraction.
Yeah.
You know your punctuation.
A little bit. Just a little bit. You know, in fact, one of the things that I found working with a computer one of the things I do wrong is, for example, book titles should be underlined or italicized.
Italicized,
Or underlined in a reference. And,
yes.
But it's hard, you know, I just get lazy and looking for that font change or whatever on the computer. So I put it in quotation marks, which is wrong.
Yes.
I had those teachers who were sticklers for punctuation.
And when I went to journalism school, it was drilled into me because I was preparing for a career as a newspaper man. And we had tests on this every day, day after day after day. And, you know, you practice it, and then it becomes part and parcel of who you are when you communicate with the written word.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've always had a problem with is, where do you put the period at the end of a quotation?
The period always goes inside the quotation mark.
It's not depends.
Same thing with the comma.
Uh-huh.
Unless you're from England.
That's right.
Unless you're from England.
Yes. Now, they sometimes put the commas and the quotes outside the quotation marks. The problem is that there doesn't seem to be a definitive rule as to when to do that.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The British can be contrary.
There's a book out called Eats, Shoots, and Leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very popular book. It was on the bestseller list.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was written by a British woman. And I was reading the first couple of pages, and all the commas and the periods were outside the quote marks. And I thought, what's going on here? And then in the second chapter, she explains why.
What kind of other mistakes are we making a lot with punctuation? I know the colon and semicolon have to be a lot of things that are used wrong.
Well, no one seems to know how to use the semicolon.
I always get confused as to which is which.
Well, one of them is two dots, one on top of the other, and the other one's a dot with a comma underneath it. The semicolon is used to separate two independent clauses that actually could be two sentences, but they are so aligned with each other in terms of meaning that you put the semicolon there.
Okay. All right.
That's a good way to remember it.
All right. So they're lined up with the semicolon. All right. But the colon now, just how do you use that properly?
The colon introduces a new thought within the context of the same sentence.
You know, if we had different names for those and they weren't connected, like colon and semicolon, maybe we wouldn't get them confused.
It would be a lot easier. Yeah. It would be a lot easier.
Now, a lot of people write with a dot, dot, dot. Well, that's actually a correct punctuation mark, but how do we misuse that,
well,
the three dots?
It's called an ellipsis, and what that does, it indicates to the reader that there was something else in that sentence that was removed from that sentence because perhaps it wasn't important to the thought that you were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's used a lot when you're taking a quotation and you're putting it into a written document, but you don't want the whole quote. So you indicate the ellipsis to let the reader know that something was removed, but what was removed was not germane to the point that you're trying to make.
Ah, okay. So again, it might allow someone to realize that there was more to it.
Right.
Okay. All right. And then parentheses and brackets, they get mixed up a lot.
Yeah, parentheses and brackets are tough. You know, we don't use parentheses and brackets a lot. Parentheses are used to include material that you want to de-emphasize or that wouldn't normally fit into the flow of your text, but you want to put it in there anyway.
Okay.
And that's what parentheses are used for. Now, the brackets I see almost nowhere. And they are used to include explanatory words or phrases within quoted language. For example, if you're quoting material and you had to change the capitalization of a word or change a pronoun to make the material fit into your sentence, you would include that change letter or words within brackets.
Oh, within a bracket and not parenthesis there, because
right.
I've seen that misused that way.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, I understand that. For example, if you're quoting somebody, but the context of their quote isn't grammatically correct to the other sentence you're including it in.
Yes, okay. That's exactly correct.
All right.
And on my website, by the way, I give an explanation of each punctuation mark with examples of how to use them correctly.
And again, that website is?
NationalPunctuationDay.com.
I was using an ellipse there, see? And that's the website is? All right. So, again, we're talking with Jeff Rubin about NationalPunctuationDay.com. How's that being received? I know you have T-shirts, too, like it's not possessive.
And an ellipsis is not when the moon moves in front of the sun. And a semicolon is not a surgical procedure.
All right, and those are available on your website too?
Yeah, and they're selling well, and the day is really being received well. I'm stunned when you do a search for National Punctuation Day on Google, the search engine. I'm stunned in how many bloggers are talking about this.
Oh, excellent, excellent. You know, email has just destroyed punctuation.
Well, it's it's destroyed writing skills.
Yes.
Yes, it has.
I'm one of the old-fashioned ones who still capitalizes and punctuates in email.
Well, you'd be among the few, but, you know, it's interesting you mentioned capitalization. I know it's not punctuation, but one of the most frequent errors I see is people capitalize for emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a word that they really want you to notice, they put it in uppercase.
All caps, right.
Well, or at least the first letter cap. So I'm in the newsletter publishing business, and some of my clients send me information for their newsletters, and I have to go through each one and make all of these words lowercase.
Well, if you look in our old historical documents, there were a lot of things that seemed like they were capitalized at random.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, the old English style of writing, the S's look like F's.
Mm-hmm. So they all look like they were capitals. So.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. In fact, I was looking today. I noticed a punctuation error in a little notice that I read. But of course, this is radio. But this was a book title. And the book title is called If There's One Thing I've Learned, and then they use a colon, How to Seize Your Once-in-a-Lifetime Chance to Get It Right. Now, they should have used an ellipse, right?
No, actually, the colon was correct.
Colon is correct there. Because
colon was correct.
Even though that it's obviously tailing a sentence there.
But we don't know if there was a thought in there that was removed.
Okay, all right.
So that was actually correct. But I'll tell you something that I always find that's funny. When National Punctuation Day first came out last year, the first correspondence I received was from a librarian in Florida. And she was telling me that she's working with little kids from kindergarten to third grade. And I'm going to read this to you. She says, however, moms and dads are always present. Moms.
Oh, did she?
Capital M-O-M apostrophe S. And dads, capital D-A-D apostrophe S.
Ah, that old possessive thing.
Yes, and, you know, people need to understand that when you want to make something plural, just add an S.
Right.
Not apostrophe S. So I get this in the mail, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, this is a librarian, and she's working with little kids, teaching them to read, and she can't punctuate.
Now, if you were punctuating, for example, say, the county commissioners meeting.
Yes.
You have plural commissioners. So yes. It's the S is apostrophe is after the S.
That's correct. And it's not apostrophe S.
Right.
Unless the singular form of the word, let's say Myers, there's a brand of rum called Myers Rum.
Okay.
And it's M-Y-E-R-S. That's the guy's name,
right.
Myers.
I was thinking of the chairman of Joint Chiefs, but go ahead.
Okay. So to make that a possessive, you would add apostrophe S because the singular form of the noun ends in S.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're keeping us straight on this. Jeff Rubin, again. National Punctuation Day. Go to the website, nationalpunctuationday.com, and pick up a T-shirt. And remember to celebrate it on Monday and punctuate correctly. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Ben.
This is Coastal Daybreak.